Good morning. It's the 19th of January. Our first reading for the day is Genesis 32 and 33. I'm going to read you from Brother Andrew Walker's book, The Genesis of Blessings. I read. Laban had left, and Jacob could now continue his journey, moving south on the east bank of the Jordan. Apparently, he knew that Esau had left Canaan and lived in Seir, at the southern end of the Dead Sea. The scriptures tell us of his careful preparation for meeting his brother. Jacob would not cross over Jordan into the land until peace had been made between the two men. The appearance of the angels must have brought him reassurance. It would remind him of their presence at Bethel and of the Lord's words as he left for Haran. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. For 20 years the angels had been with him, unseen yet always present, protecting him from danger. Had the knowledge of this helped him to knuckle down meekly to work for Laban in spite of the deceit shown to him? Now, as he faced the last hurdle before entering the land, the angels were still there. They would guard him until the danger was over, and God had brought him back to Canaan, as he had promised. Yet there is more to it than this, for the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him, and delivers them. And Jacob saw their abiding presence as they settled around his camp. So he called it Mahanaim, two camps. What a reassuring picture this is. We do not see two separate camps, but Jacob and all those who had travelled with him, surrounded by a camp of angels. What can Esau do to him? As we read the record, picking up the details of the events that unfold, we are reminded of a similar picture elsewhere in the scriptures, for this is a type of the greater testing seen in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the following view of Jacob. He was rejected by his brother, who saw him as one who had come to take away his place. He sought to put him to death. John 12. Though Jacob was a son and his father's heir, he took upon himself the form of a servant in his 20 years of service to Laban. Philippians 2. Through that period he was mistreated and reviled, Isaiah 53, yet never raised his voice in judgment, Isaiah 42. The night before he thought he would face death at the hands of his brother, he wrestled with the angel, with tears and supplications, and finally overcame his nature, placing his life in the hands of God. Luke 22 and Hebrews 5. We see in these events of Jacob's life one of the greatest exhortations of the Old Testament. We all at times make wrong decisions and have to live with the consequences, as did Jacob. Perhaps we might then kick against the pricks, trying to fight our way through, sorting out matters for ourselves rather than turning to the Lord. When the psalmist wrote that God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble, he gave us words of comfort. Yet they do not mean that he is always there, but that he is instantly found and willing to help if we turn to him when we are in distress. The Lord waits for us to turn to him, as he did for Jacob. But when we do this, we find there is always grace to help us in our times of need. He never deserts us. In Genesis 49, we read of Jacob saying, "I have waited for your salvation, O Lord." Learning these lessons was not easy for Jacob, nor is it for us. Thank you for listening.